got an excited word for you today, and the word is coming from Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and we're going to go over some things from the Word of God. And you know what? A lot of times, have you ever somebody's English teacher or somebody might be in class or something trying to teach you something about English? And then you say, oh, I learned about that in fourth grade. And then you go thinking about something else, what you're going to do when you get out of school or something like that. I already know that. Well, guess what? If you already know it and you think you know it, guess what? You're not teachable. And you can't receive anything new. So it's the same way in the spirit world. A lot of times, you know, in the natural, right, a lot of times we'll say, well, I already know about healing. So praise God. And then you want to figure out what you're going to do when you get out of church and what you're going to eat for that later on that evening. You know, all kind of stuff. Your mind wanders and you say, I don't know it. But guess what? How many of us realize that we all need to be teachable? Amen? Did you know that the Holy God speaks to us in many different ways? And I'll say this. God has spoke to me through my children when they were real small and little. They would come up to me and they'd say something. And then they would actually be correcting me. But I'd have to receive that. I couldn't say, boy, who you think I'm your daddy? Go to your room. Who do you think you're talking to? No, a lot of times they said something that was in correction, I had to receive it. I had to receive it. And sometimes I even had to apologize to them. But, you know, I'm human. I make mistakes. You know, and I know my dad, when he was coming up, my dad would always say, my mother, well, why do I got to do that? Why do you got to do that? Because I said so. And then they get the switch out. Oh, you want to challenge me? Get the switch out. Well, see, and that was good. That was good because I shouldn't have challenged him. But the thing is, sometimes you got to be able to receive instruction from even a little child. Even a little child. It could be a coworker. It could be somebody that you know, just walk up to randomly and may mention something. So we all got to be teachable. How many of us realize that unteachable people are actually sealing their doom? They can only go to a certain level. But if you're not teachable, not open up to the Word of God, guess what happens? Guess what happens? You can't receive from God. So we're going to go to Proverbs. There's two things that prosperous and wealthy people always want. When you got Bill Gates money, do you think you're worrying about whether you're going to be able to pay your light bill? Okay, he's wealthy. What about the other guy that's Warren Buffett? Warren Buffett. You got Warren Buffett's money. Do you think you're going to worry about whether you can afford to pay your car payment? That's the least you're worried. You know what wealthy people are worried about and concerned about? They're concerned about whether they're going to have long life and live healthy. You know what? You could be a billionaire, but if you're in a hospital hooked up to every kind of tube and every kind of apparatus there is, are you enjoying abundant life? No, you're not enjoying abundant life. You know why? Because you can't enjoy it. You're in poor health. So wealthy people want two things. They want long life, and they also want to be healthy. And so guess what? Because of that, they will do certain things that people that don't have the money or the technology or either the inkling to do. They won't eat. You know what? They will watch what they put in their mouth. Their diet is restricted because they know they only eat healthy foods. They only eat healthy foods. And so what? They want to maintain health. They want to maintain long life. Long life. Do you know everything produces after its own kind in the kingdom of God? Everything produces after its own kind. And so what happens when every living thing wants to live and wants to keep living? And I'll prove it. Even in the plant kingdom. I plant collard greens. This year I haven't planted a garden, but I plant collard greens usually every year in my garden. And what happens is, if you take a collard green plant, and when it grows up, you don't pull it up from the ground, but you just start cropping it. Does anybody know what I mean by cropping it? You just pull the leaves off of it. But you keep to let the plant grow. In Florida, state of Florida, that collard green plant can be, it can grow as tall as Josh. And they'll have rings around it. Rings around it. But every year it won't die unless it's a hard freeze, really super hard freeze, it won't die. So every year that collard green will keep living. But you know what it caused that collard green to die on its own? You quit cropping it. When you quit cropping that collard green plant, what it does, it doesn't have a brain, but it's in its DNA in the seed, right? When you quit cropping that collard green plant, you know what a collard green starts doing? It starts saying, uh-oh, nobody's taking care of it. Boys, we about ready to die. The collard green is having a conversation with itself. Boys, we about ready to die. Let's go ahead and grow some flowers, some yellow peppery flowers. And then we're going to, and guess what? Those yellow flowers, they turn into pods, little pods. And the pods are filled with little, about 30 or so little tiny seeds about the size of a period on a page. You know, if you read a book and the sentence ends in a period, that's how small that collard green seed is. And what happens is when it, and then it dries up, it turns, the pod dries up and it splits open, and then it drops the little seeds down on the ground. Anything at all can walk on that ground and press that in the soil, and guess what? You got new collard green plants growing. Well, collard green don't have any a mind, does it? But it knows when it's going to die. So it wants to live. So if God, only God could have did that. So guess what? We were created in the image of God. So every successful person realizes that without a successor, there is no Bishop D. Plant 300 churches and don't leave anybody to have anybody. One of his sons is a call on their life. So he may go up to Joshua and say, Joshua, you man of God, I anoint you and I give this up to you. And then I want you to take over my ministry. And that happens a lot of times. She doesn't. Sometimes even in the corporate world, the son the daughter gets strung out on drugs and stuff and waste the money and stuff. So the parents know they can't leave that money to them because they'll be dead in a week. Because if they give them enough money to overdose on drugs, that's what they're going to do. So they know that they can't leave it to their natural children. So they'll find somebody that's a son and daughter not related to them to pass on their legacy to. Well, guess what? We, as created in the image of God, we want to do the same thing God does. We want to be a success, and then we want to pass on our success to somebody else. Have you ever, when you were in high school or elementary school or something, you had a teacher that took particular interest in you and poured into your life, and they did such special things that no other teacher did, but they saw something on the inside of you that if it cultivated, it would pull out the greatness in you. And guess what? I've had a lot of teachers, and my dad was in the military, so I traveled all over as I was coming up. Some teachers, I can't even remember their name. They're a blur. But some teachers I know, and this one teacher I know, my English teacher, 11th grade English teacher. Well, actually, my 12th grade English teacher, Miss Harper. And I'll never forget her. I always made straight A's in English because I used to be a reader, believe it or not. Cecilia probably won't believe this, but I used to be a reader. I used to love to read and stuff. I read all the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew novels and spy novels and stuff like that. And I read all of that, but I loved to read. And so English was easy to me, and I always made A's on English. But my first semester with Ms. Hopper's class, I made all A's on all the tests, on all assignments. But guess what she gave me? She gave me a B. So I said, Ms. Hopper, can I speak to you? She said, okay, come see me at the end of class. At the end of class, I went up to her and asked, I said, Ms. Harper, all of these grades here, they show A's. Why don't you give me a B? And you know what she told me? Because you can do better. I said, what do you mean I can do better? I made all A's. She said, no, you can do better. You're not even challenging yourself. This is easy to you. I want you to do something else. And she made me do special reports. Before we had the internet and everything like that, I used to have to go to the library. And I had to, you know, and then I had to read all the encyclopedias, all the books and everything. and research on a like Shakespeare or whatever, study in English. And then I had to present it to the class. She gave me about 5 minutes to present it to the class. That's how I was able to maintain my A. And because of her, when I went to college, English 101 and English 102 was a breeze because she'd already taught us all of that. She was so dedicated to her teaching profession. She wasn't a hireling. She did it because she loved people. Colleges tried to recruit her, but she stayed in the hood. She stayed in the black community, and she taught those kids there in the black community because they needed her until she retired. But she had plenty of opportunities to go up to the college level, the university level, and teach because they saw excellence in her. But she refused. She stayed at the Carver High until she retired, George Washington Carver High School. And so I'll never forget her. I'll never forget her. And when I went home one time, one of the last times I went home, I actually called her. I said, Ms. Harper, I said, you may not really remember me, but I said, you had an impact on mine. She said, I don't know you. I remember you. She said, I remember I had your sister, Maria. I had your brother-in-law, Grady, and he was in my class. But she said, I remember you. And I told her, I said, I want to thank you for what you did. You'll never know. And I don't want you to close your eyes not knowing what you've done for me. And she's in the 90s, and she has a mind sharp, clear. She remembered me, and then she asked me, how's your daddy doing, and everything. She remembered all of that. So anyway, but the thing is, the reason I remember her, because she poured into my life. She saw something in me. She saw greatness in me that I didn't see myself. All I wanted to do is skate by and get an A and just do the little work that everybody else did. But she challenged me, and she refused to let me just be a mediocre student. So guess what? God is the same way. So we're going to go to Proverbs. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears into my sayings. So if we want to maintain a healthy lifestyle and long life, God tells us, he says, boys, I'm going to give you the inside scoop. Girls, I'm going to give you an inside scoop. If you incline your, my son, attend to my words, incline your ears into my sayings. So guess what? Have you ever seen watching TV or a movie or something, and this guy like 90 years old, and then somebody say something to him and say, hey, Pops. So he say, eh. And then he got to lean his ear toward it and got to cup his ear. So he's hard of hearing. Well, guess what? God's not saying we're hard of hearing, but he say, look, my words are so important. I want you to incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, pay special attention to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you how to have wealth and health and long life. So this is the key. I'm going to give you an inside scoop because I love you. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear into my saying. Now, how do you attend? How do you attend to something? I was talking to Josh one day, and I said, hey, Josh, man, I really need to talk to you, man, and everything. And you know what he told me? He said, well, Pop, you know, I'm going out of town. I'm going to play a football game out of town and everything, so I won't be able to meet with you or anything like that. I said, okay, no problem. So in other words, what Josh was telling me, he's saying that, he said, Pastor Hicks, not that I don't want to talk with you or anything, but I have something more important right now that I'm committed to. And so I can't meet that commitment that you may want to just spend some time with me or whatever like that or talk to me and everything. I said, okay. So in other words, when you attend to something, it means you put that first place. You put that first place. You put that first place. I know my dad, when I was growing up, my dad would say, boys, I'm going to take you guys fishing. And he shouldn't have said that before Friday night. You know why? Because if he said it on Monday, guess what? We couldn't even sleep. My dad was a hard-working man, just like Josh's dad is. I met Josh's dad, and my dad was in the Army. When he would go to work at Old Dark 30 in the camp, and then when he came off, he would go to his other two jobs. He worked as a manager of the theater, and then also when he got off, he worked as a bouncer / bartender at the club, NCO club. So my dad was hard-working. But anytime my dad say, I don't care what happened, and he was a mechanic too. He worked at a mechanic, a third job. On Saturdays and Sundays, he would work as a mechanic at a filling station because he was a mechanic by trade in the Army. That's what he did. And so he was always busy, always working. And really, I thought that we were rich. I really thought we were rich because he was a good provider. But I found out that later that at best we were nothing but middle class. So anyway, my dad, when he said, I'm going to take you guys fishing. Guess what? All the boys, we couldn't sleep. We could not sleep. Waiting in anticipation till Saturday morning when he was going to take us fishing. And when my dad said it, and he put out his word, we could take it to the bank and demand full payment. You know why? Because when my dad told he was going to go fishing, you know, I don't care what else came up. Somebody could have made it, needed a car fixed, or he was a mechanic or something. He said, well, I'm not going to be able to fix it till after, you know, take my boys fishing. So my dad instilled the desire in us to fish. And I pass it on to Curtis, right? Curtis is a better fisherman than I am. So what I'm trying to say is my dad made that special attention to that. He gave that first place, no matter what. I told and promised my boys I was going to take them fishing. So guess what? When Joshua said, I'm going to go play football in Orlando, and it was an opportunity for them to meet his sister, too, Romana, that lives there, and Joel, and also. So it was actually a treat for him. So, but anyway, he said, I have something that I put in high importance to, and I'm committed to it. And so that's how we got to be about the Word of God. We got to give attention to His words, make it first place. I don't care if what's that show where they got Empire. I don't care if Empire's coming on or not. Guess what? I'm going to get in the Word of God because I need to hear from God. Empire's going to have to wait. Yeah, praise God. You know what I'm saying? But some church folks, I mean, I heard this one pastor say that it was on Wednesday. They used to be on Wednesday night. He said, guess what? My church members don't want to come to church because Empire's on. They care more about Empire than they care about their soul. He said that's foolishness. That's ignorance gone to seed. They care more about Empire and what Cookie gonna say, what Terrence Howard's gonna say. And I mean, he says the same thing no matter what movie he's in. How does he talk, D?
What you need, Iron Man.
Hey. He can play an Iron Man. He says the same thing. He changes his tone of voice. So the words that he say, are they gonna get us over and give us long life and health? wait, what does he say?
How you doing, Ray? How you doing, Ali?
His voice never changed. I don't care what movie he's in. He's all so. Does he really have anything valuable that's gonna get you over in life? No. But the Word of God, so it says, incline to my words. In other words, give it first place. I don't care if the Jaguars are playing and it's a playoff game. I need to hear from God. I can turn on the news later and see who won the game. But right now, I'm seeking something from God. I'm putting God's word first place. I don't care if I got a new game called Warlords or whatever. Warcraft. I'm not going to play Warcraft today because I need to hear from God. So in other words, I'm going to give God's word first place. I'm going to listen in and incline my ears to God's saying. There's a commercial in there that said that E.F. Hutton, everybody was talking all of a sudden. Then they said, the commercial said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, and then all of a sudden, everybody got quiet, and they started gravitating to what the guy was saying, because they were talking about E.F. Hutton. Well, see, that's how we need to be with the Word of God, don't we? We need to be with the Word of God. When God speaks, we need to incline our ears to His sayings. Because the sayings, the Word of God, whatever God says, is important. John 6 and 63. We're going to come back to Proverbs, but let's look at that. John 6 and 63. This is how important the Word of God is to us. Now, Pastor Hicks, she's a prolific reader. I learned that word in high school, and I always wanted to be able to use it, so I'm using it. Prolific just means that you do something, just you're passionate about it. You do it so much that you're almost a legend. People, when they see you, they see that attribute, whatever you do, they associate that with you. Like a writer, that's prolific, means he writes so many books and novels that they say, man, I don't understand how he has the time to do that. So prolific reader just means that you love to read. Now, she loves to read, right? Those novels and everything, you can, that's like Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities. You can read The Tale of Two Cities and dissect it left and right to you, to the period, to the verb, to the adjective and everything. And guess what? You can only get so much out of that book. Some people study books like that and tell you what the author meant. And the author don't even know that he's meant that. But guess what? The Word of God is not like that. Word of God, you can read the Word of God in one season of your life, and then you come back and read again and you get something else. Why? Because it's a living document. So Jesus said this. He said, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, now what did Jesus speak? He said, he spoke the words of his Father. He said, I don't do anything or say anything except I hear my Father. So the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if you really want to have a good long life, you really want to have long, how many people want to be sick? Raise your hand if you want to be sick. Oh, okay, no hands? Okay. Okay, well, let's see if we can get some takers on this. How many people want to die prematurely before God calls them? Oh, okay, no takers on that either? Okay. So nobody wants to do that, right? Everybody wants to have long life, right? So how do you get long life? Okay, let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 4 and 20. Okay, now, it says, my son or my daughter, attend to my words. Whose word? The Word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, you know, a lot of times we like to think that we know how to be led by the Spirit of God and everything like that. But guess what? The Bible says that in Luke and then also Matthew's and the other Gospels, it said after Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, the Heavenly Father looked down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So in other words, he affirmed his Son, right? So guess what? Jesus didn't do any miracles until after he was baptized and full of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, when he was 19 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old, 22 years old, 23 years old, 20, all the way up to 29, he didn't do any miracles. But when he came 30, that's when after he was baptized, the Bible said that John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there's one that's coming that's greater than me. He shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus, the baptism of baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire, right? So Jesus didn't do any miracles at all until at the age of 30 after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. So Jesus walked around, and he really was our example. So let's go to verse 21. He said, now, this is what we got to do with the Word of God. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Whose eyes? Whose eyes? My eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Now, when the Bible talks about heart, is it talking about the pump, the organ that pumps blood to the body? But what it's doing is talking about our spirit, right? God is the Spirit, right? Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, don't let the Word of God depart from our eyes. Now, guess what? A lot of times, when we have a problem or going through something, you know what we want to do? It's human. It's human information. Okay, D. Man, I have this problem. My boss is riding me. My boss don't like me. And D, man, I try to do a good job on the job, a good job you know, at work and everything, but it seemed like they just got something against me, man. I think I'm going to just quit. So I go up to D. D, what you think about it? Well, man, man, you work hard, man. You my brother. And, man, that boss shouldn't treat you like that. Okay, well, hold it. It's good to get counsel from D because D loves him, right? But who should I really get counsel from? Who should I get seek counsel from? From God. And guess what? Everything that you need for life and godliness, God has given you, but it comes through the avenue of the Word. So guess what? If I get in the Word, I may find out that maybe I have ought against my boss or whatever, right? So what did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? He said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That's what Jesus said. That's how you're going to get victory. And then guess what? When you pray for them and pray for them that God bless them, guess what? You'll know the next day you go to work, there's nothing that you did. Your heart is clean. And then you start loving on them, giving them what they don't deserve. And guess what? You start being an obedient employee. Start doing stuff that they don't even tell you to do because you know it needs to be done. They don't even know it needs to be done, but you do. Holy Spirit will give you insight and wisdom and other things that people can't see. And then you go doing that stuff, and you'll become a valuable employee. They'll never want to get rid of you. They'll never want to get rid of you. So, but you got to seek the counsel of God. It's good that for us to go to one of our brothers and sisters that we love and seek their counsel. But sometimes they can be in the flesh like we are. And they be saying, yeah, man, blah, 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 blah. And then next thing you know, you be looking for another job because you listen to your brother, your sister. That was emotionally attached to you that didn't give you the word of God to handle your problem. And I know you probably heard this, but I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what problem you have. The answer is always who? Jesus or God. Jesus, whatever you need, your answer is Jesus. Your answer is God. But the other time, we want to go seek some other source of information other than inclining our ear, you know, and keeping the Word of God in the midst of our heart. And when we keep the Word of God in the midst of our heart, I don't care what circumstances look like, we're going to always, number one, make God's Word first place in our life. And then also we're going to make sure that we don't let the Word of God depart from our heart. Remember Joshua? He was Moses' armor bearer. And then when Moses died, he told God, he said, God, I don't want to even lead these people unless you be with me. So God gave him an indication that he was going to be with him just like he was with Moses in Joshua 1 and 8. So let's go to Joshua 1 and 8. First of all, he said, fear not, right? God always says, fear not. Where does fear come? Does it come from God? It comes from the enemy, right? Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1 and 7, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, I believe. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I think that's it. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, I believe that's the address. So we know fear is a spirit, right? But God has not given us the spirit of fear. So the Bible says right there says fear is a spirit, right? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. So anytime we let fear try to attach itself to it, guess what? We can quote the scripture, say, no fear. You're not attaching yourself to me because I have faith in God. Faith is the opposite of fear, is it not? Faith is the opposite of fear. So guess what? So he told Joshua, he said in Joshua 1 and 8 and 9, Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9, this is what God told Joshua. He said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So how are we going to have long life and health? By what? By meditating on the Word. And putting the Word, put it first place in our heart. Give it first place. Give it first place and then meditate on the Word and hide it in our heart. You know, a lot of times when I heard this theologian said that whatever you feed will become stronger. In fact, most of us know from Thessalonians, I think it's Thessalonians 5 and 23, said that man is a spirit. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body, and he possesses a soul. So the most important part of us is our spirit. You know, a lot of Christians, their spirit is malnutrition, because they'll feed their body. Their body is, looking good, you know, and everything. They eat five meals a day. But guess what? Their spirit is malnutritious. They said, "Please feed me. Please feed." Remember that that movie called Little Shop of Horrors? He said, feed me, Seymour, feed me, Seymour. Well, guess what? A lot of people's spirits are saying that. Feed me, Maurice. Feed me, D. They're hungry. They're malnutrition. So guess what? You got to put the word first place in our heart. We got to put it first place in our heart, and we got to meditate on the word both day and night. When you get the word of God in your heart, guess what? You can trust your conscience to guide you. And every time you try to do something contrary to the word of God, guess what's going to happen? We'll say, something told me. It ain't something. It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit say, well, D, don't talk ugly about the cashier. You know, I mean, she's having a bad day. She getting minimum wage, man. Don't talk bad about it. Just encourage her. Tell her God love her. Don't say, you slowest thing I ever seen. No, don't tell her that. You know, but just encourage her. Say, darling, you know, don't say this to a woman your age or something, but you know what I'm saying. But an older lady or something like that, you can say, mother, you know, I'm just glad that you're serving me and that I came to your counter. And is anything that I can pray for you about? And then she said, well, yeah, I'm having so-and-so and so. And then you say a quick 30-second prayer and move on. So you're not holding up the line with anything. So like I say, see, you give her what she doesn't deserve. And so what happened is the Holy Spirit will tell you, that still small voice will tell us when we did something wrong, because when we're not representing the kingdom of God, right? Are we supposed to get in the flesh? Okay, so guess what? So we're supposed to be spirit ruled, right? So whatever we feed, that takes preeminence. Did you know that? That takes preeminence. The stronger, we're a three-part being, but whatever we feed the most, that's what's going to take preeminence. And so it's not good to be body ruled, but it's good to be led by spirit. How are we going to let our spirit take over? By being feeding our spirit. And guess what is spirit food? What is spirit food?
The word of God.
The word of God. Thank you, D. The word of God. So that's spirit food. So guess what? I don't care, like I say, if Empire's coming on tonight or if the Jaguars going to play this afternoon. I'm going to seek God's word concerning something that I need. Amen. And we're in the most blessed generation that's ever lived. You know why? Because we got the Bible on a smart device. And we can do a word study. When I was coming up as a baby Christian, man, we had to have a big old concordance about the size of an encyclopedia. And then we had to do a word study and then go through all those scriptures and find out what they meant and everything. Guess what? Now you can do that in 5 minutes on your smart device. So if we don't know about the word of God or how to get victory, guess whose fault it is? Is it God's fault? Okay, so it's our fault then, right? But how? Let's go back to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and then we're going to close with. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. In the 22nd verse. For they are life unto those that find them. What is they? What is they he's talking about? What is the they he's talking about? The word of God, amen? So the word of God is life unto them that find them. And health to all their flesh. So guess what? If sickness and disease is trying to attack itself to my body, how can I get a victory over that? using the Word of God. Do a word study on health and healing. And then we'll find out everything that God says concerning the healing, and we'll probe that in our life, right? Because healing is His children's bread, isn't it? So I don't care what we're going through, the answer to that problem, the victory to that problem is always be found in the Word of God. And it says it's flesh to, it's health to some flesh. It's health to some flesh. Did I say that? Oh, to all their flesh. Praise God. All our flesh. So I don't care what it is, we'll be healthy in every area, spiritually, emotionally, financially, mentally, every area as we get in the Word of God. Amen. So that's, and then in the 23rd verse, we'll close with that. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, we keep our heart, put a guard our heart, because we don't let everything enter into our heart. You know, people that that are addicted to pornography, it doesn't start just one day. They'll start looking at something, and they say, oh, okay, well, that's I shouldn't be looking at this. I shouldn't be looking at this because it's going to provoke thoughts that are ungodly. And then they do it one time, and then guess what? And they do it another time. Then they do it another time. And then they get addicted to it so much that it's a spirit, right? A perversion. It'll come in a pride of oppression. And so what happens? The way you're going to get victory over that is to guard your heart. We're all dealing. Don't let anything come in your ear gates, your eye gates, or any kind of gate that you have, even out of your mouth. You don't let anything come in that's contrary to the Word of God. So you got to guard your heart with all diligence. Because it says, for out of it are the issues of life. Somebody that commits adultery or fornication, you think they wake up one morning as a Christian and say, well, I'm going to just go out and do something I know that God's against? No. What happened is they entertain the thought. They entertain the thought. And the devil comes up, and then all of a sudden, they're not getting attention to some person that's not tuned into God or come up and give them that attention that they need. And then all of a sudden, they'll like it. And then the next thing they know, they're doing something that they know is contrary to the Word of God. Amen? So you got to guard your heart. You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's how we'll have long life and health. And that's what all of us want. Amen? God promised that to us. Okay, well, praise God. Well, that's it for the Word.